And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, nothing much here, but, you know, I think we found out that Florida State and their coaching staff, they're listeners to the podcast.
That's right, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks to our boy TH for pointing this out on our Reddit page. Again, that's That SEC Podcast on Reddit. But he shared this little nugget with us that on the previous episode, we were talking about, you know, some of these players need to maybe walk around campus with a football under their arm, like the movie The Program. And next thing you know, Florida State's introduced that to their team because they're leading the nation, or they're third worst in the nation in fumbles. So thoughts on that, Shane? Florida State making their players carry around the damn football in class and wherever the hell they go.
Well, this is a lot better than that damn backpack they've been carrying around. I think it's clever. I mean, if you've got a few guys that that really do have some ball control issues, mm-hmm. I definitely see that. I'm kind of curious about tying it back to the SEC. You know, we were talking about Kirby Smart when we were doing it. And, you know, I'm just curious that after these touchdowns, if you don't start seeing them hold on to the ball until they hand it off to a ref, I think they're going to really hit hard on that this week. So just watch it, because they're going to score several touchdowns this week, and be surprised if they start just going straight to a referee. It wouldn't surprise me.
They got to have respect for the ball. I think that's what Kirby said.
Yeah. Well, they'll have plenty of practice Saturday.
Okay, Shane, so we wanted to try a new feature today. It's Tell the Truth Tuesday.
Tell the truth. Middle Tennessee, I got a lot of respect for their coach, a guy I've known for a long time in this profession. You know, his son's a quarterback. He's a really good football player. They beat three Power Five schools in the last 6 or 7 years, and they got really good athletes.
You got to give East Tennessee State credit. They gave a bunch of different looks. They stemmed around. They played hard. I think at the end of the first quarter, we had eight rush attempts for minus 1 yard. Those guys got after us really well.
Chattanooga is a very well-coached team. You know, Russ has done a really good job there. They're 8-2. They're one of the top teams in, you know, their division. They have 14 starters returning from last year's team. They basically do a really good job on offense with the quarterback run type stuff and the play action.
All right, Shane, so this is, like I said, this is the first time we've done this segment, and what it is basically, you know, we get a lot of coach speak, we get a lot of building up the other teams. The coaches don't really want to put any bulletin board material out there for. And I mean, I guess there's logic behind it, but it'd be a hell of a lot more interesting if these coaches said what they really thought. So that's kind of what we want to get into here on this one. We're just going to give a rundown of all 14 SEC teams and what we think the coach would say if he was really being honest about his team after 4 games on the schedule.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, Shane, so we're going to let you do the SEC East. We're going to go back and forth. I'll do the SEC West. Let's start with you, with your boy Dan Mullen, my dad Dan. What would he say on Tell the Truth Tuesday?
Man, if I'm being completely honest, I'm happy with where our team is. I hate that we dropped the Kentucky game, but I've never wanted to win a game more than my life than this week when we're going down here to my old stomping grounds. I just want to give icing on the cake on why I chose to come to the East, to the University of Florida. So this game means a lot to me, and I'm just ready to kick some ass. Now, Mike, let me ask you, Nick Saban, after 4 weeks, how do you feel about your team?
No, we can't be touched, man. I'm begging for the media to write something bad about us because no one can touch our ass. We can throw on you, rush your passer. We could run on you. I said we can't run. We ran for about 120. That's because we didn't want to run on anybody. We didn't need to run on anybody. Tua's the best quarterback in the nation. Jalen Hurts, he wants to transfer. Take his ass down to FAU. Be with Kiffin. If he wants to play for a contender, he'll stay here, and he better damn well do it.
I love it. I love it, brother.
All right, Shane, what would Kirby Smart say on Tell the Truth Tuesday if he was being honest?
We gonna whoop Tennessee's ass. But I do want to get my boys some practice. I want to make sure that some of these guys get out of off the field here in the third quarter. I want this to be a very productive game. I want Mike to shut his damn dog up, and more importantly, I want to make sure that the balls don't touch the ground. So that's why you're going to see every touchdown we score, that player is going to hand the ball to the referee. Now, let me ask you, I about to say Coach Bielema, Coach Morris, how do you feel about your Razorbacks after 4 weeks?
Well, tell you what, buddy, I got a warrior under center, but he can't throw for shit. And the other guy sucks, too. I sure wish my ass was back in Texas at SMU because I had that thing humming. I was winning 6 games last year. How in the hell did I get this job? I know how to recruit Texas. We may not have any good signees from Texas, but I sure as hell can recruit the recruits down there in Texas. I may be in over my head, but that remains to be seen. We got Texas A&M this week, and then we got Alabama after that. And oh, shit, then we got Ole Miss and Little Rock. What did I get myself into here? All right, Shane. Mark Stoops, 4-0, first time in his career, 2-0 in the SEC. First time Kentucky's seen that since 1977. What would Mark Stoops say if he was being honest on Tell the Truth Tuesday?
I told you. Just give me some time, and I would get this offense humming. And here we are. My team looks good. My quarterback looks good. Benny Snell is a Heisman candidate. And I think we could seriously beat anybody in the conference. Got a tough schedule ahead, but honestly, if you look at it, I probably got the easiest out of the SEC teams. So if I can knock off Georgia, then I will be playing for the SEC championship. That's what I'm telling my boys. Malzahn, let me ask you, brother, after 4 weeks, how you feel about your team?
Well, let me tell you what, buddy. This old Herb Hand, my former offensive line coach, he didn't leave me for shit on the offensive line. We can't run the ball. We can't pass protect. Jarrett Stidham, he's looking shaky as hell. I just don't know what to do. I'm an offensive genius, but my offense sucks. I'm supposed to have the best quarterback in the SEC. We can't even do anything on damn Arkansas. We got Southern Miss this week. Hopefully we beat the hell out of them because we may not get another win here in the SEC if my boys keep playing like this. All right, Shane, Barry Odom, tough loss against Georgia. His team played their heart out. They're going in the bye week, but they're still 3-1. They got the full, basically 7 games of SEC action remaining. They impressed a hell of a lot of people. What would Barry Odom say if he was telling the truth here on Tell the Truth Tuesday?
Well, I tell you what, Mike, these boys look good Saturday. And we let this one slip away. We should have beat the Georgia Bulldogs. We should be undefeated in the East right now, in the SEC right now. But we're not. But we got to win out. We learned a lot. Drew Lock looks good. I got a great quarterback, thank God. I've got a couple wide receivers. But I'm a little nervous because if we don't do well this year, I may be in a little trouble next year. So this feels like my last shot. So I really wish we would have got that Georgia game, but we didn't, so we're moving on. All right, Coach O, after 4 weeks, how you feel about them Tigers?
Well, let me tell you, boy, we're fired up. We're undefeated 4-0. Now, I've been saying this Ole Miss game don't mean nothing to me, but them sons of bitches ruined my reputation, and we're going to take it out on Ole Miss this week. We're going to beat the hell out of them. I've undefeated since I left there. Facing the Rebels, and we're going to whoop some ass here, and I'm going to get me a Hummer.
All right, Shane, what would Will Muschamp say on this Tell the Truth Tuesday, considering his team's lost 4 in a row to Kentucky. Now, he's not, obviously not been there. He's not been there for all those, but you know, this is kind of the big black mark on his program right now. What would Will Muschamp say on Tell the Truth Tuesday if he was being completely honest?
Well, Mike, the thing is, Mason wanted a street fight, and we gave it to his ass. We went out there, we ran for 300 yards almost, and we probably should have ran for more. If it weren't for that thunderstorm, we probably would have had this thing knocked out a long time ago. I'm looking forward to the future. I think this is the week everybody's pumping up old Kentucky, but this is our year. I didn't bring in this offensive coordinator. I didn't change the offensive scheme for anybody. I changed it mainly because I keep losing to Kentucky. I know it sounds crazy, but I needed to mix things up. And to mix things up is the only way I'm going to be able to compete in the East. So why the hell not? I just hope that hiring my friend doesn't backfire in my face. Matt, Luke, Coach Luke, how do you feel about them Ole Miss Land Sharks right now?
Well, tell you what, buddy, my offense is humming on all gears. Jordan Tayamu, A.J. Brown, we're unstoppable. If my defense would get their head out of their ass, we probably would beat Alabama. We could probably beat anybody if them sons of bitches get their heads out of their ass. They call us the Land Sharks. They should call us the Land Sharks because we ain't stopping shit. All right, Shane, what would Jeremy Pruitt be saying if he was being completely honest here on Tell the Truth Tuesday?
All right, Mike. I left the University of Alabama probably a year too soon, and I probably could have got me another job offer, but here I am. I'm in Tennessee, and fan base is a little crazy. Got me on the hot seat already. I guess they just thought I'd come in and flip this thing overnight, but I'm not going to be able to. Okay, we're going to Georgia. I'm going to tell you how great Georgia is because Georgia's going to kick our ass. But that's not it. I've got Georgia. I've got Auburn. I've got Alabama. I've got South Carolina coming up. I'm a little worried that maybe I bit off a little more than I could chew. So I just hope that we keep these games competitive so that I don't have to hear that my job's on the hot seat. Because guess what, Tennessee? You can't get rid of me. I'm here.
Your right. Alabama accent is god awful.
That's the best I can do, buddy. Joe Moorhead, you dropped a big one last week. After that loss, you got a big game coming up this week. How you feel about them Bulldogs right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, one damn game's not going to define us. But I think I was eating too much pasta and not worrying enough about my damn team because my offense, we didn't look like we knew what the fuck we were doing last week. We let Kentucky beat us. I think we're looking ahead to Florida. You know, there's no excuse. If we lose this one, my ass will be back at Penn State quicker than shit on a Sally.
What the hell is that?
That's him trying to be Southern.
Maybe we should have practiced this a little bit.
All right, Shane, if Derek Mason, what would he be saying if he's telling the truth here on Tell the Truth Tuesday?
Well, I came out there and I did a dog fight and things didn't work out. Georgia had a good team and, you know, Vanderbilt still didn't show up.
Still didn't have any fans showing up. By God, my ass is on the hot seat and nobody's showing up to the game. We're undefeated. Not undefeated, but we went to Notre Dame. We should have beat them. Yeah, we had a chance in South Carolina. We kept it close, but it's fucking Vanderbilt. It's what I signed up for. So we're going to lose some close ones. I just hope that in the future that somebody needs a good defensive coordinator because I'm a hell of a defensive coordinator, and I'm looking forward to, I don't know, padding my resume. Just good God, let me beat Tennessee. Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher. We've had two losses this year. Granted, they were against Clemson. They were against Alabama. How do you feel about your team right now going into week five?
Well, let me tell you what, buddy. I mean, Kellerman's playing good. A&M's playing good. We got a good team. We faced two of the best teams in the nation, but we failed. We look good. We're doing it. I'm not embarrassed. We're just no moral victories here. We got a big game coming up. We will go to the SEC season. We have not given up. We got two losses, but this will be the only two losses we got because Kellerman is a good player, and I'm damn proud of him, and we got a good team, and I'm ready to roll. Giga Maggie.
Dude, you sound like Cassius Clay, man.
That's how he talks. He goes fucking fast as shit, man.
I love it. Look like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
All right, let us know what you guys think of that segment. If that was garbage, we'll never do it again. But back to normal programming. We're going to go around the league and start with South Carolina.
Damn, we should have practiced that one.
Now let's go around the league. Around the league.
We haven't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did, so, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week, all our play. I mean, it's just like, right, I mean, just hear it over and over, and, you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice, so you just you get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail. Let's get to work.
All right, Chain. So Will Muschamp kicking off from down in Columbia. He's got his team, you know, coming off a big win there against Vanderbilt, at Vanderbilt even. They travel to Lexington this week, got a huge task facing a red-hot Kentucky team. And I thought the kind of the most interesting thing Will Muschamp had to say was just on how you basically can't simulate facing Benny Snell and how the, you know, his team kind of struggled to defend the run against Georgia and how they're going to do it against Kentucky. So here's Will Muschamp on that, and then we can just get into that.
Well, you got to swarm the ball, Phil. That's the bottom line. You know, and when you play really, really good backs, you know, they're gonna make you miss. They're gonna break some tackles. You've got to swarm the football. You got to leverage the ball the right way. The ball carrier is never down till the whistle blows. You got to finish on the ball carrier, and you got to have the right mindset going into the game. You know, and that's I think that's something that's really important when you play a back like Snell, because he is a guy that you're gonna have to gang tackle to get on the ground. I don't know you can mimic. There's not many of them out there. You need to emphasize gang tackling. You need to emphasize swarming the football. You need to emphasize finishing on the ball carrier. I mean, those are obvious things that you talk about every week, but obviously the antennas are up a little bit more because our players respect him as a football player and a running back.
Okay, Shane, so what are your thoughts on everything Muschamp had to say there about facing Benny Snell and this hot Kentucky team?
Well, I mean, coming into this Mississippi State game, I mean, nobody was giving him the credit he deserved. And what did you see? He got four touchdowns. So if you're a smart coach and you don't want to be ran all over, you got to come out and praise this running back for, you know, what he's done so far, because that's Kentucky's offense. If you can control that running game and you can make Wilson be the one that beats you, I mean, that's what Muschamp does, is defense. So what is your biggest threat? It's taking out Benny. So let's pump him up. Let's let the team know that he's going to be the best back they've ever faced. Whether he is, whether or not, that's up to you. That's your opinion. But he's got to have that impression, because if they take their eyes off that, then this becomes a two-dimensional offense and something South Carolina doesn't want to go toe-to-toe with, because they have in the last few years, and it's not worked out well.
Well, I think Muschamp was a little bit on this Tell the Truth Tuesday too, man, when he said you can't simulate a guy like Benny Snell, and you can't. I mean, how in the hell can you? You know, there's only one Benny, and it's not even so much his physical attributes, which are, you know, I won't say off the charts, but I think what really helps him is just his motivation and his drive and his willingness to be great and you know, feeding off the negativity. And, you know, we'll get into Mark Stoops' comments, but he did note that Mark Stoops says he doesn't care about being the underdog when the line debuted. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that for a damn second. I think everyone in that Kentucky locker room saw that, and they probably got more fired up. You know, that probably grounded them for everything they had going through the beating Mississippi State, and that just kind of got that fire burning again now that they know that, you know, not even beating the number 14 team in the nation is going to give you to where you're home favorite against a unranked South Carolina. So, I don't know. This is going to be a really good matchup. And, you know, I think kind of like that Derek Mason was saying, it was going to be a street fight. I'm sure this one kind of will be, but, you know, I think Mark Stoops and Will Muschamp have enough sense to not kind of put that out there, but just they're telling their team that behind closed doors because they know what's ahead in this one.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, any word on Ortre Smith? Is he out?
Yeah, so Muschamp did note that the South Carolina receiver is going to be out for the season. He's been kind of battling some health issues. He was injured, I believe, in the last game. And, you know, South Carolina is pretty loaded at receivers, so it's not a devastating injury. But, of course, you know, you never want to lose such a talented player like that, particularly to a season-ending injury.
Yeah, for sure. This should be a good game, man. This is probably, out of all the games, this one, like I said, I had it as a pick'em. Not necessarily I think it's going to be the greatest game, but it's just, honestly, I don't know who's going to win this thing. And every little piece matters. So just the fact that Smith's out, I mean, that's another piece in favor for Kentucky. So it should be a hell of a ball game.
Yeah, so jumping to the other side of this, before we get to Mark Stoops' comments, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because Kentucky was fined $100,000 today by the SEC for fans getting on the field after that big Mississippi State win. And for those that have not seen it, you know, it wasn't a traditional rushing the field. It was more like, I'm just estimating here, but I'd say 3,000 people kind of came into the end zone and maybe within the 10-yard line. So it was not that many people. But what are your thoughts on this, Shane, of the SEC taking this action against Kentucky?
I hate it. I really do. I think that's way too much money. $100,000. And it, like you said, if you see the picture, they just loaded up an end zone. It's not like they were all over the field. It's not like they tore a goalpost down. Mm-hmm. You know, they're excited. This is the first time in 31 years that they've been 4-0, and they just beat a top 10 team. So why not? And to come out and penalize them this much money is just – it's ridiculous, in my opinion. Let them have fun. Let the fans celebrate a little bit.
Yeah, so this is probably the best home crowd Kentucky's had in years. One of their biggest wins that they had that sold out, you know. And, yeah, this is just kind of – it's a little bit of a buzzkill. And obviously the fans are not going to pay it. And I'm sure Kentucky obviously has the money to pay it. But I think it just kind of deters slightly the buzz they have around this program and everything they got going for them. And now it's like, you know, we don't want to get too overboard with our celebrations when, you know, as we noted, this is the first time Kentucky's been 2-0 in the SEC, I believe, since 1977. Like, these fans, yeah, have a lot of reason to celebrate right now.
Exactly, man. And they just, they're taking the killjoys, man, taking all the fun out. I like the idea of storming the field. I think you should probably have like one, like, kind of like we were talking about the flags, you know, if something like that, like a sideline warning, mm-hmm. Same thing here. If they did have a celebration, say, okay, here, listen, we're issuing you a warning. If this happens again, we're going to fine you $100,000. Don't just come out and just, I mean, I get it, safety, but, you know, I didn't hear anybody dying when Tennessee beat Florida in 98, you know, mm-hmm. or every time anybody's ever stormed a field. I've never heard it. Maybe it's happened that I'm not aware of, but I don't know. Maybe it's if you get hurt doing it, maybe it's a battle scar you want to think, because it's been 31 years. So, I mean, if I bust my knee again, I'm going to say, you know what, it's worth it. I have a little trouble with stairs, but by God, we whooped the shit out of Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect. Okay, so jumping to the other side of this, Mark Stoops also met with the media on Tuesday. And, you know, he was very appreciative to the home crowd and the energy and everything. And he met with the media actually before the SEC announced this, so he didn't have any official comments on it. But one thing he did touch on was just Benny Snell and just, you know, getting him in as a younger player and if he saw this greatness coming. You know, so let's play these clips from Mark Stoops and then we'll jump into it.
You know, I've always said, you know, people frame it different ways. We had a good idea who he was, but to say that he would have all this and do, no, I mean, I didn't know that. I just knew he was very mature. I knew he was strong, got tough yards, and he was disciplined for a young guy. He came in with an edge and an attitude about him from the very beginning, and he's been consistent all the way through. So that doesn't surprise me one bit. just his approach to the game and his desire to play well and his desire to play good for his team. So that has been the same. That we knew what we were getting in that. As far as the production, I don't think you could ever, you know, foresee that. Well, that's why it doesn't worry me. You know, when I was approached by Tony and Susan about doing some of these things, it didn't bother me because I know Josh and I know Benny and I know the type of players they are and the maturity that they have, and I know what's important to them. And you know, again, with the success of the team, the individual accolades will come, and I don't anticipate anything different from those guys in their approach.
All right, Shane, so what was your main takeaway there from Stoops on Benny Snell?
No, I really like it, man. This is the thing I like about Mark Stoops is how he worded it. The fact that he emphasized that this was a team. This was a team effort, team wins. This isn't an individual. And that's the problem. A lot of times these Heismans, they get pumped up as individuals. And he says that if the team does well, the individuals will shine. So I just think that's pretty cool. I like that attitude.
Yeah, and that seems to be the way that program is right now. Like, sure, Benny Snell's getting a lot of praise, but, you know, he's a guy that's just carried this team for so long, and now he's got the help of Terry Wilson, and the defense has finally come around. It really is a team, you know, where Benny Snell did break some big runs, but, he's smart enough to know that doesn't happen without his offensive line winning the day. That doesn't happen without Kentucky's defense just swarming Mississippi State all damn game. And this, like I noted before, I mean, they just seem to have, you know, they seem to have just, I'm trying to think of a way to word this, but they just seem to have that fuel going, and they look for any kind of motivation, and they just continue to just bring it out and just work and work and work. And, you know, so far it's obviously paying off. No one had them beating Kentucky, or excuse me, Mississippi State. No one had them beating Florida, but it just doesn't seem to matter. All it does is fuel these guys.
Yeah, for sure. And I kind of joked about it earlier in that Tell the Truth segment, but if you look at their schedule past South Carolina, if they can get past South Carolina, they've got the Aggies, they got Texas A&M, they got Vanderbilt, Missouri, Georgia, Tennessee, MTSU, Louisville. Other than Georgia and maybe Texas A&M, this schedule is actually not looking so bad. And I think if they can get past the Gamecocks, could you imagine November 3rd when they play Georgia, that the winner of that game wins the East? Not saying that Kentucky will, but just the fact that they have a chance to win the East in November just blows my mind. So, I mean, this is a new ball club, and they're killing the number 17th in the nation, I believe. So, I'm glad they're getting a little bit of respect they deserve.
Yeah, and I've even heard speculation that if this Kentucky team continues to win and Georgia continues to win, that College Game Day would be interested in going to Lexington for that Georgia at Kentucky game. And that would be pretty wild, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that? That'd be awesome. Have they even, I don't even know if they've ever had one.
I don't know for sure, but I would not remember a single game day at Kentucky.
Exactly. They're a football school now, Mike.
Well, jumping to another football school, Florida, obviously the other big game of the week, traveling to Mississippi State. Not a ton to get into here, but I did want to jump into this and just get your overall thoughts after we hear these quotes. But Todd Grantham, the Florida defensive coordinator, obviously he was formerly Mississippi State's defensive coordinator, and he just kind of touched on what Nick Fitzgerald, you know, the challenges he presents for his Gator defense. So we're going to play these, and then we can discuss it.
Quarterback, you know, being around Fitz, he's an NFL guy that can run it as well as throw it. I mean, Nick's like I said, Nick's an NFL quarterback. You know, I mean, he's tall. He's really fast. I mean, he can make guys miss. He can take it to the house. I mean, he's got home run speed when he runs the ball. And then when you look at his arm strength, he's got really strong. He's got a really strong arm. He can be on the hash and throw it to the numbers on the far field. So he's obviously a dual threat guy that can make plays with his feet, but he's got really good arm strength to to make plays down the field, and they got guys that can protect, so we understand we got a challenge in that regard.
All right, Shane, so what do you take away from Grantham's comments there on facing his former quarterback?
Yeah, man. I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is probably the best quarterback they've faced all year, and it's kind of similar to that Kentucky. I mean, they can run the ball, but the quarterback is extremely mobile, and you saw in that – in that Kentucky-Florida game, they had a lot of problems keeping him in the pocket. So I look for him to dial up some, you know, some packages, maybe some spy packages, something like that, to kind of keep an eye on him and make him beat him with his arm. Because, I mean, say what you want about being an NFL prospect, Fitz has really been struggling this year. And if I'm a defensive coordinator, I want him to beat us with his arm, not his legs.
Yeah, and I mean, I know, obviously, you know this, as a big Tennessee guy, you know, people calling out the offensive coordinator in Knoxville, I'm hearing the same things, if not significantly louder, for Joe Moorhead, because this is a guy that came with a huge reputation as an offensive coordinator. This is something that Nick Fitzgerald has struggled with his entire career, throwing the ball. Everyone knows he can run the ball. I think when he finishes his career, he's going to be the all-time leading rusher in SEC history from the quarterback position. But Florida's going to make, like you said, Florida's going to make him beat him with his arm. And mm-hmm. he cannot do that against Kentucky. And these fans are kind of pissed off at Joe Moorhead for blowing this game against Kentucky. They're coming home mm-hmm. to play Florida. You know, they'll have the home crowd this time. But this is, like we've already said, this is a must-win situation. And Joe Moorhead, Nick Fitzgerald, they need to prove something. They've got a lot to show in this game, and this is the guy that they're going to have to go up against. And thankfully for Todd Grantham, he's not going up against such a predictable damn play caller in Todd Helton back-to-back weeks. But
yeah,
this is really a chance for Joe Moorhead to show that, you know, it's kind of crazy to me that people would already be calling this coach out, because I understand it on a sense, because it's, you know, so much hype around this team, but you, at the same time, you can't expect him to have his offense fully in and running on full gear 4 weeks into the season. But that was the expectations, with him kind of setting the championship standard from day one, and now it's time for them to go out and prove it.
Yeah, and then, I mean, this is – they didn't lose to a 1-2 Kentucky either. I mean, this was a team that's, like we said, ranked now in the top 20, so undefeated. This isn't a cupcake. Everybody sees that Kentucky blue and they think it's an easy football team, and it's not. So, I mean, you really can't – I do think that they overlooked them in this situation. I really do think that they have better talent than Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talked about this many weeks ago, about it possibly being a trap game, thinking about the University of Florida coming in. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna fire him because he lost to Kentucky, but I will tell you, these next few weeks, he's really gonna have to show out.
Let me ask you this, because I did want to get your thoughts on this, is kind of why I brought up this entire subject. But how much stock do you put in coaches who know the personnel on the other side? Because obviously, I can't think of the number off my head, but I think it's 6 of Dan Mullen's 10 assistants were at Mississippi State last year. Mm-hmm. So how much of an advantage do you think that is heading into this game? I think that's always overblown. We see that this annually, particularly in the SEC, because these guys switch jobs so much. But
yeah,
what are your thoughts on that?
I think you're right. I think it is overblown, because the player that they saw last year is not the player they saw this year. I mean, one off season of workouts and training, I mean, some of these guys put on 20 more pounds. So you may think, we could just run it straight at this guy, but then you're watching film and you're like, hell, he's gotten a lot bigger. He's gotten a lot faster. You know, we got to change things. I mean, schematically, there may be a few advantages, but you're talking minute, because, I mean, you could go home with the playbook. Doesn't mean you're going to know what play they're going to call. So I think that's blown up a little bit, in my opinion.
All right, Shane, so the final note around the league we wanted to get to, I thought you'd really appreciate this, but let's jump to Athens, talk some Georgia football. Your boy, Mecole Hardman, he's always open. So this came in an interview, Jake Fromm and the center down there, Gilliard, they were asked, each one individually, one-on-one, so these were not coordinated by any means, but they were asked which player on Georgia's offense wants the ball more than any other. So we're going to play this clip, and then we can discuss it.
Who of those guys comes back to the huddle and says, Jake, I'm always open?
Oh, Miko, no doubt. No doubt.
Probably Miko. That boy, he always thinks he's open. Even if he does get the ball, he's like, bro, I'm sure I'm open if you throw it to me.
It's something you just already mentally prepared. Every time you're on the sideline is I'm wide open. They're playing man, even though they're obviously playing zone and they have somebody way over the top. I'm wide open. This guy can't cover me. It's something all the time with that guy.
All right, Shane, I would imagine this is kind of a question that you'd ask because your love for old Mecole Hardman, but any surprise to see that the receiver always say he's open?
No, not at all. No, I mean, this is that's why, I mean, you got to love players like this. You got to have a few of them on your team. Mm-hmm. Just chirping all the time. They want, get like Keyshawn Johnson, give me the damn ball. That's what you want.
I agree with you in a sense that it is good to have that, you know, that kind of bravado, but I would amend it just to note only if you have the talent that a guy like Mecole Hardman has, because I don't think there's anything worse than guys that, you know, are constantly chirping and they think they're the best and they just don't have it. Those guys annoy the hell out of me. But people, you know, players of Mecole's caliber that want the ball and they know what they can do with it and they've shown it time again, I think that's the best attribute you can have. I'd rather have that than an elite player that is quiet and doesn't, you know, doesn't speak up. I want this guy because people will block harder for him. People will run harder for him, you know, on and on, in my opinion. And I think this is a great mentality, and I think this is something that Kirby's instilled in his guys, and they have a ton of talent, like we said, coming into the year. Not a ton of experience at every position, but with this confidence, with the talent, that's why you're seeing Georgia be so nasty this year.
Oh, for sure, man. I mean, like you said, if you suck, you don't want to hear that. It's like that pickup game here at the community center, and that one guy stands around the three-point line, which is usually me. Come on, hit me, I'm open, you know. Then you launch it, you brick it, and that's over. So, yeah, that's not what you want. You want a guy that demands the ball, but when he does get the opportunity, he makes great things happen, and that's what Hardman does. He's lightning fast.
All right, Shane, so that's all I got around the league. And you got anything before we jump off here?
Yeah, buddy, I got some mailbag.
Listen up, it's time for mail call.
Don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
My turn, what do you got?
Okay, here we go. What color is a fire truck?
Oh, God, I always get these. All right, fire truck. Fire truck. What color are those red fire trucks?
Our buddy on Twitter, Russ, at 7Buckets2, asked, what the hell is up with everyone praising everyone these days? And he followed it up just saying, media is asking coaches about opponents, and all they do is praise the other team. I want to hear someone say, F Bama. Even if they get their ass kicked, they didn't get their ass kicked because they said F Bama. They got their ass kicked because Bama's better. End of rant. And I think it's true, man. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Like when Coach is talking about Austin Peay and he talks about how great the coach is, or Saban's talking about how defensively sound Arkansas State is and they lead the nation in passing or something like that. It's wasted time. And just tell the truth, man. Just tell them that you want to go down there. You're going to beat their ass. And if you don't, then who cares? You know, we move on to the next one. They got a couple sound bites. We move on to the next week. At least you're not fluffing the other team. I can't stand that. What are your thoughts?
I see both sides of it, but you know, just in today's age of college football, man, like it just seems like half these assistants are going to be switching sides. A lot of these players are going to be switching sides. So I don't think you can just be burying people like that. And look at it this way. Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Jeremy Pruitt. How many more we got? Jimbo Fisher. Will Muschamp. All these guys are buddies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've all worked together. I just don't think they're going to come out and say that. So I don't think it's all just coach speak. I just think that, I don't know, I think it's just putting themselves in a losing position. If they go out there and say, we're going to kick this dude's ass, and then they don't do it, then it's going to be their ass that's going to be out.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I don't know. Maybe
I would agree that it's probably changed, but I think it's changed, you know, because I would think back in the day, particularly when you got guys like Steve Spurrier would really throw this stuff out there. And, you mm-hmm. know, obviously going back before his time was before our time, but I'm sure these coaches would say stuff to the paper and everything. But mm-hmm. the thing is, nowadays, if you say that, it gets to Twitter in about 30 minutes, and then it gets blowed up, and then it's all over the internet, and it's just a different time. And, it, you know, where it used to just be like the local Athens paper would run it, or the local Tuscaloosa paper, you know. So it's just a different age, which kind of does take away a little bit, and it makes it a little less fun. But
well, Mason did say it with the street fight, and that's the first thing they ask him, ask Muschamp. I don't know, man. I just don't fluff it up. Just say, hey, I have respect for Pruitt, but I don't, you know, I don't care about Tennessee. We'll talk about Georgia, you know, talk about our team, mm-hmm. maybe something like that. But I've heard some of these, man, 5-10 minutes just talking about how great the other opposing team is. And you know, I mean, really? Tell me how good Arkansas State is coming from Nick Saban? I mean, come on. Yeah.
That's the process, baby. That's what Nick Saban has instilled in these guys. And it, like I said, it's filtered down the rest of them because they all worked for him, and they just want to have his success. So they're just doing it the way he does it.
Yeah, I got you. Well, we did get a review on iTunes, so I'd like to take the opportunity to read that out. This comes from a wonderful name, Soulful BJ. Oh, I love it. Says, thank God there's true SEC podcast. Says, I'm a dog fan through and through, but I love staying abreast of what's happening around the conference. This podcast is perfect, but not only does it keep you informed, the Mike and Shane keeps the conversation fun. I always feel like I'm part of the conversation. I don't think I've ever liked a Vols fan until I started listening to Shane. LOL. Keep it up, guys. So I appreciate you, Soulful BJ, for taking the time to give us a 5-star review, and all listeners. You know, I appreciate all listeners. Not everybody has iTunes, but you did take a moment to listen to the show. And if you do get on the Reddit app, I would like to get a little feedback on this truth thing. You know, it's something that we're going to work on, try to get a little bit better every Tuesday on that. But just, you know, we want to get to the bottom of what coaches really, what a team pulse really feels like. And, of course, we're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're on, we're on everything. So appreciate everybody taking the time to rate and review. That's all I got, Mike.
Yeah, and I'm definitely making an audio clip of Shane saying he appreciates Soulful BJs. All right, that's all I got. I'll catch you on the next one, Shane. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate it. And if you wouldn't mind giving us a 5-star heart on iTunes, we'd appreciate that as well. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Go Vols. I'm sorry. 5 The awards or the accolades, how do you say that? Accolades?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might want to edit that one. let me do that again. Is it accolades?
It is, yeah.
God, maybe I shouldn't use big words, Mike. He'll get a trophy.